some church thus far. Amen. God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. Our scripture today will be found in Joshua 6, 1 through 20. You think you could stand with me as I read? I'm going to read 20 verses. If you think you got enough strength to stand with me through 20 verses, I'd appreciate it. Amen. Amen. Joshua 6, very familiar story in the Bible. Joshua 6. Reads, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the reward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. And 7 priests, bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns, before the ark of the covenant, went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with trumpets. The 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp, so they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day that those rose early and the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are within her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. When ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. But all silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. You may be seated. If I might attach a title to this message today, would be Great Walls Crumble Under Faith and Obedience. Great walls crumble under faith and obedience. There's few Bible stories better known than this story of Joshua and the Battle of Jericho, and you know, you know that sometimes when you hear this story, you can't help but think about the old Negro spiritual. Sing it with me. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. Amen. That's my message. You see, there are times when we find ourselves facing enormous, gigantic, ginormous, or even impenetrable walls that they seem to be impossible to break down, be impossible to break or to crack through your human strength. But there's a way to bring any wall down that you're facing. You see, if you put your faith in God and follow his commandments, he will perform great and mighty things and give us the victory. But you see, great walls crumble under faith and obedience. Now, I know at some point you've heard this old adage that everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. Well, everybody talking about faith ain't got it. There's a little faith story I want to tell you about. That was it's a sister Johnson, and for the umpteenth time, she came to a preacher and she told him, "I'm so scared, Pastor. My husband says he's going to kill me if I keep coming to your church." "Yes, child," the pastor replied. "And I'm kind of tired of hearing it over and over, too. But I will continue to pray for you. And have faith, my sister, and the Lord will watch over you." "Oh, yes, he's kept me safe thus far. Only," and the pastor said, only what, my sister?" "Well, now my husband says if I keep going to your church, he's going to kill you." Pastor said, well, now, Sister Johnson, you just might want to check out another church on the other side of town. Everybody talking about faith ain't got it. If you've been just halfway listening to the news, halfway, for all of you that's going to be voting for the Donald, you know, he's talking about building a wall. And who's going to pay for it? Mexico. Yeah, right. But anyway, so like Joshua and the children of Israel, we in this life, we're faced with our own Jericho. Anybody got any Jerichos? Anybody been facing a Jericho? Just keep living. And sometimes those Jerichos, those walls, they seem impenetrable. They seem overwhelming. They seem challenging. And it's a whole host of other adjectives I could use. You see, the enemy would have you to believe that your walls are T-O-O, too high to cross. T-O-O, too wide to go around, and T-O-O, too thick to penetrate. However, but we have a slight edge. It's called faith and obedience in God. You see, combined, they give us the best weapon to conquer any foe, any wall, any problem or trick that the enemy can pull out of his bag. Sounds like SWAT to me, special weapons and tactics. Joshua had been Moses' aide during the 40 years of wandering, and at the end he chose him to, you know, to go ahead and lead the people to be the new leader. Now, coming up to Joshua 6, when you read Joshua 1, 2, and 3, the Bible says that God told Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead." You see, God doesn't tell everybody what his plan is. God told Joshua. Sometimes God speaks to credible people, people with character. So he spoke to Joshua. He says, "My servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan and all this people of the land which I am giving them." The children of Israel, that's who he's giving it to. He says, "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses." What a promise. What coming from God. If he says, "I have given it to you," it's yours. If God gave it to you, nobody can take it back. You got to remember that's very important in the mission that Joshua had to do. He says, "I have given you the land." It's like, it's yours. Just go up and possess it. You see, God gives you a thing, but then you have to do a thing. Not that you're saved by works, but sometimes you there's some things that you have to do. Remember that. There's some things that you have to do. We always ask God for things, and there are some other things, some things that we have to do, that he's trying to mold us. He's trying to shape us. He wants us to be more than what we are. He wants us to use. He wants us to have faith. He wants us to believe in him. But there are some things that you have to do. Although God had promised to give the children of Israel the promised land, the mighty walled city of Jericho stood in their way. You see, that was the first city that they were going to have to focus to go on and possess the rest of the land of Canaan. So he says, unless they found a way to bring down those walls, the city could not be taken. And if the city was not taken, the promised land would never be there. So here it is. There's something in the way. There's something they're going to have to do. So Joshua sent out two men to spy out the land, especially Jericho. After the men returned from spying, having been saved from death by the harlot Rahab, the report was promising. But look, when the spies got there, they found themselves in the house of a prostitute. Wait a minute now. A prostitute. And God is going to use a prostitute to further his cause. It sounds like God can use anybody, amen. So these spies are, or not only are they spying out the city, but they're finding out some things while they're in the city. You see, this prostitute, she had become converted. You see, inside the walls, the people were actually afraid. You see, they have heard about some miraculous miracles that God had done for the children of Israel. Parted the Red Sea. They conquered some Amorite kings. So some things was heard, and these people in the city, they said that where the encampment was, that it was about 3 to 5 miles away from Jericho, and at night the lights could be seen because, you know, the children of Israel were hundreds of thousands, millions. So these people were fearful even in this city. The word had got around. Israel ain't nothing to be played with. So the harlot Rahab, she sees an opportunity like to help these spies. She sent them up on the roof, and the word was that spies were there to spy out Jericho. And the word was that Rahab was hiding them out. So she had sent them up on the roof of the house to hide under some flax. And so they came, they said, they're not here, they're gone. You know, but so they come back in, or she go up and they talk, she say, well, look, I know y'all gonna take the city. When you come, can will y'all please have some mercy on me for this little favor I did for y'all? Yeah, she said, this is what you need to do. Get your family, get them inside your house. Now, mind you, Rahab's house was situated along the wall of the city. Along the wall of the city. Some houses at that time were built into the wall of Jericho. So he says, when we come back, you need to, this scarlet rope or whatever they say was probably made from some of the flax, you need to put this in your window. So, because we are coming back, and we're going to tear this city down. And you put this in the window, all of our people will know not to mess with this house. A prostitute, God is using. So don't write it off when you see somebody that just doesn't line up, just doesn't shape, just doesn't fit in the mold of a Christian. Don't write them off. You see, inhabitants of the city had heard many of the miracles of God that and the spies reported to Joshua that the inhabitants were faint-hearted because of them. They were already scared of the Israelites, already scared. The hearts, they say, melted with fear. Now, your Jericho can be intimidating. You see, to get to the city, you would need to travel down through the mountains from Jerusalem, or you take the river road coming south from the Sea of Galilee, running parallel to the Jordan. The Canaanites built Jericho as a kind of a gateway fortress to the rest of the country. On the border of the fertile plains, its palaces and temples, the abode of luxury and vice, this proud city behind its massive battlefields offered defiance to the God of Israel. So they thought. Any invading enemy would have to deal with the great walled city of Jericho. You see, Jericho was a city of pagan belief, a city of importance, a city of human impossibility. Excavators and archaeologists have said that the ruins reveal Jericho's areas to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 to 9 acres, somewhere in that. What a real big place. It had an inner wall and an outer wall. Both were built on a slope, making it virtually impregnable to any attacking army. You see, the city was surrounded by a great earthen rampart or an embankment with a stone retaining wall at its base. The retaining wall was 12 to 15 feet high. On top of that was a mud brick wall 6 feet thick and about 20 to 26 feet high. At the crest of the embankment was a similar mud brick wall whose base was 46 feet above the ground level outside the retaining wall. So humanly speaking, it is impossible for the Israelites to penetrate these walls of Jericho. But I know a God that's greater than any Jericho. I think it's the same God that you know. But how about some of your Jerichos? You might have a loved one that you want to see saved, and it just ain't happening. You might have a Jericho of family trouble. I don't know. You might have a Jericho of an upcoming surgery. You might have a Jericho of financial stress. All of us have Jerichos. But conquering your Jericho through faith and obedience, here's the hope. Joshua 6 tells us, it tells us that Jericho was securely shut up, indicating that the gates were not only shut, but securely fastened with bolts and nuts. These people were not going to allow anybody in, and right now nobody's trying to get out. So the Lord told Joshua, he says, I have given Jericho into your land, and God will not lie. If he says he gave it to you, it's yours. An expression, it says the outcome of the divine prediction was so sure that it's stated as already having happened. It's like if he says it's yours, it's like it's already happened. A statement like that is called a prophetic perfect. Prophetic perfect. And it's used to emphasize the certainty that something is going to be fulfilled. Prophetic perfect. Verse 3 tells us the Lord says, you shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. Here it is, the doing. Say, you got to do something. You got to follow his commandment. You got to have faith. You got to be obedient. Don't try to figure out what marching around the wall going to do. So I know somebody there, I don't know if they figure the vibration of the feet going to crack the wall or what. Don't try to figure it out. Just do it. And then in verse 4, he goes to say, 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And this did not necessarily include the whole army, but representatives from each one of the tribes. Get this. It shall come to pass that when they make a loud blast with the ram's horns, and when they hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then shall the wall of the city fall down. They had to do some things, didn't they? They had to walk, they had to march, they had to play some music, they had to shout, then the walls would come down. So Joshua gives the command. Excuse me. The Israelites' faith and obedience is about to be put to the test. Your Jericho, my Jericho, it has to stand the same test of faith that the Israelites had to have. You may not be marching around a literal city, but you might have to march around your situation. To you, it's just as bad as Jericho. How many of us don't want to see all our loved ones saved? You tried to do all you could do, but have faith. Have faith. You see, then they had to implement the plan. He told them what they had to do. Now it's time to shut up and put up. So Joshua commanded people, saying, you see, he said, you should not shout or make any noise with your voice until the day I say shout. Then shout. You see, this is where obedience is crucial to bring down your Jerichos. Our Jerichos are still standing because you know, and you know, that there's something else that you need to be doing. You see, what you're not doing may be hindering the crack in your Jericho. You know what it is. If you're for real with yourself, you know. And sometimes you have to just shut your mouth about your Jericho. Sometimes you have to just change a conversation that you're having with yourself. Have you ever had a conversation with yourself and it's all negative? I just can't. I don't know why. This boy just won't. I mean, sometimes you just got to change and just shut up and listen. You know, so Joshua commanded the people saying, you shall not shout or make any noise. That's going to be a problem right there because some of us just can't shut up. Verse 13. First day of the procession, the seven priests bore the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. It went on continually to blow the trumpets. The second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. And they did this 6 days. Sister White says that the solemn silence of the procession presented an idea of opportunity for meditation and reflection. You know, if you was in the group, the command was just shut up, don't talk, march. And in that marching, you might have been trying to figure out, well, I don't know how you're going to do it, Lord. Our leader said that this is going. You just meditate now. You ain't worried about nobody else now. You know, I don't know if you're trying to figure out how it's going to happen. You don't know how it's going to happen. But your leader said that Lord told him that it was going to happen. So you don't try to figure out how it's going to be done. You just do it. She said, Ellen White also said, God was seeking to impress the great lesson of faith. Such lessons are not easily learned, and often much time is required. You know, everybody don't get to the same place at the same time in their faith level. Sometimes it takes others longer. Sometimes people just get faith right away. Everybody's different. She also says that to conquer a walled city, nothing seemed quite as ridiculous as what the Israelites were doing. Marching around a wall, blowing some horns, and carrying the ark. But she says God had a design in such a procedure, and the lessons of unconditional faith and patient trust in the power and the assistance of God were deeply impressed upon the Israelites. See, something was happening to them during these days that they were marching. They were being refined. They were being fortified. And that's what happens while you're dealing with your Jericho. God is doing something to you. Sometimes he's refining some things in you and your faith. You thought you had faith? You know, because your wall didn't come down the first day that it showed up? You got to have patience. God knows all about your wall. He knows where the weak structure is in your wall. He knows where the best place to put a crack. God knows about your wall. Have faith. So in 15, he said, he tells us that on the seventh day, they marched around the city seven times. You notice a total of 13 times they marched around the city. But it's something about the seventh day. And the seventh time it happened. When the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Yes, Adventist? Sometimes it's okay to shout. I just want to let you know. Yeah, see, shouting does some things sometimes. It's okay to shout. It says that, so the people, they shouted. When the priest blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down. The people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and took the city. Can I tell you that impossibilities become possibilities through confidence? Can I also tell you that it was uncommon common sense to believe God could make the impossible happen? Patriarchs and Prophets, page 493. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. In Hebrew 11:30, the captain of the Lord's host communicated only with Joshua. He did not reveal himself to the whole congregation, and it rested with them to believe or doubt the words of Joshua, to obey the commandments given him in the name of the Lord, or to deny his authority. They could not see the host of angels who attended them under the leadership of the Son of God. You see, God is aware of your Jericho. You can't see the angels that are just waiting to give you victory. See, that's why you got to start talking to yourself. You're not into this Jericho thing by yourself. If God is in it, he dispatched angels who excel in strength to crush those walls. Because remember, I told you that great walls crumble under faith and obedience. Last week at camp, And I'm not going to hold you long. Last week at camp, the speaker was Pastor Jack. Pastor Jack, he was talking about testimonies or your personal testimonies. And he says, to think about it, everybody has one. Your testimony, your testimony, your testimony is a sermon. And guess what? You don't have to have a degree in theology to tell it. Because guess what? Nobody can tell it like you. I've given my testimony here probably maybe one or two times. But there may be one person. I know at least two, I guess, today. They haven't heard it. So I'm just kind of give you a little testimony of a Jericho that I had. If it's boring to you, maybe you can go to the bathroom or, you know, text somebody or whatever. But here it is. First of all, when I became an Adventist, I was working at a power plant, Central Louisiana Electric Company. You make electricity. So I'm an operator, power plant equipment operator. And through coming to the church under Pastor Booker, ended up getting baptized. And it was a blessing to me. I want you to know it's a blessing. But on my job, I'm working shift work. I get one weekend off a month. One weekend a month, I'm in this Adventist message, knowing that you don't work on the Sabbath because that's God's holy Sabbath. But I had faith, but I didn't have all the faith that I need. I'm an Adventist, working on the Sabbath, at least three Sabbaths a month. And did I tell you I was uncomfortable whenever I was at work on that Sabbath? Yes, I was. Making some pretty good change. Adventist working on the Sabbath. I begin to rationalize. Okay, I work at a utility company. We make electricity. At my church today, they use the lights that I'm helping to make electricity for. We got three hospitals in Alexandria. I'm making electricity for the hospital. I'm making electricity for the grocery stores because people got to go buy food. I'm rationalizing. Anybody ever rationalize when it comes to you and the Sabbath? My testimony. But I'm not comfortable. But I'm going. Been in church all my life. Thought I knew Jesus. So one night, Pastor Booker was having an anointing service for a young lady named Daisha Earthly. Daisha Earthly. I'd be going to prayer meeting and doing all that, doing all the church stuff. Deacon. And it's something about that night. She was sitting right in front of me. She had a rash on her arm. Pastor Book was having an anointing service for Daisha that night. Had known God, knew God. And it's something about that night. Anybody ever had a personal relationship with Jesus? I know you got one now. But there was one time when you thought you had one, but something happened and you just got closer. Something happened. Some people have traumatic situations. Some people have near-death experience. Some people have cars they total out. Some people just, something just happens. A death of a loved one, and you just want to get closer to God. Well, something happened that night. Had grew up in the church. My church, before I was baptized in Adventist church, was one block from my house. Mom raised me right. But it's something about that night. I'm a grown man, and it was that night I saw Jesus for the first time. In prayer meeting at an anointing service, working at the plant now, right? I have been battling with this thing about the Sabbath. So it was that night that it's something about when you make up something in your mind. You see, when you get it settled in your mind that you're not going to do it, come what may, it happened to me that night. I'm going back tomorrow. I'm going to tell my supervisor, not that I don't think I can work, I'm not working tomorrow on the Sabbath. It was settled. Come what may, if I lose my job, I lose my money. I know my wife was in my corner. She was with me. I asked Pastor Booker to go out to my plant with me, meet with my supervisor, the plant superintendent, and my shift worker. I mean, my shift boss. So we're sitting out in this picnic area. There's a representative from HR as well there. Okay, so I would not be working on Saturday anymore. So the HR rep was there. He said, well, really, all the company is obligated for us to make a reasonable accommodation for you. I had three. You could quit. I don't want to quit. I need my job. I got a family. You could use all your vacation time. I don't have enough vacation for every Sabbath. Or you could take a lesser position. Okay, I'll take the lesser position. I went overnight from a power plant equipment operator to a utility worker. A utility worker is under a janitor. But guess what? I knew at that time I cracked my Jericho because that money did not have me. Money did not control me anymore. If God said that if you're obedient to him, he's going to take care of you. Your bread and water will be sure. Some of us want a little dessert, but bread and water that'll sustain you. It was settled. It was settled. Next day I come to work, I'm a utility worker. I'm shoveling coal and sweeping coal dust. And they didn't quite understand it. Some of my coworkers even asked, well, what's wrong with you? She said, I'm with him. He's not working on the Sabbath anymore. I could go to church. I ain't had to go to the plant anymore. Well, eventually got another position I was a clerk in an office and then went on to be meter reading, became a supervisor of meter reading. Guess what? I retired from the company. I don't think I missed a beat. I ain't undernourished. You know, still look all right. You know, but anyway, the God bless, because I know that money did not have control of me. See, your Jericho, sometimes you're just going to have to face it head on. Remember I told you? And I did that for a year. I compromised for a year. So everybody don't get there at the same time. You might be dealing with one now. Maybe you've been dealing with it for 2 weeks. Maybe you're dealing with it for 5 years. But just hang in there. Have faith and obedience, because it crushes walls. It makes walls crumble. And I know without a doubt, if I'm in this situation again, that I'll do the same thing. But God has brought me from then to now. I retired in 06 and I'm still here. See, your testimony is your sermon. What kind of wall city are you facing right now? Does it seem unconquerable? Do the walls appear T-O-O high? Or T-O-O thick? Does it seem that victory is absolutely impossible in your case? Let me remind you that if your walls haven't already fallen, they can. Take a lesson from Israel and start handling your Jericho God's way. Use your weapons of faith and obedience that are at your disposal and watch God work and crumble your wall. That's my message. Your walls are not too high. They're not too thick. They're not too wide that God cannot allow them to crumble if you're faithful and obedient. Don't worry about trying to do something to make it happen. It's already happened. You got to know God and you got to see him for who he is. It might be someone right here today. You're facing a Jericho and you just don't know what to do. Wayward child. Marriage on the rocks. I don't know. Something. But each time we're reminded, and you hear these stories all the time. They're in the Bible. They haven't gone anywhere. They're right there every time. God is still in control of every situation in your life. Every situation. I don't care what it is. But you got to change the conversation you're having with yourself. You got to tell yourself, I know I got victory. God's got my back. I can't do this on my own. There's nothing I can do that would make it happen. I have to believe that God will do it, and he will do it when, how, whenever he wants to. But pray, have faith, and believe. Follow God's commandments. Trust him where you can't trace him. I don't know a lot about a lot of stuff, but what I do know is what he did for me. I don't know a lot about a lot of stuff, but I know what he did for me. Each one of you is sitting on a testimony. And you never know how your testimony. It might seem boring. It might seem reluctant to you to have to tell it over and over and over. But tell it. It may be one person that need to hear that testimony. One person. See, if you tell yourself, I can't tell it because it's going to be boring. See, you're talking to yourself wrong right there. No, won't you change that and say, somebody needs to hear this. Yeah. My wall was crushed under faith and obedience. And I'm standing here as proof. There might be someone right here today. You've been going through some things. And maybe you want to come up and we're going to pray for you to give you victory over your wall, over your Jericho. Maybe you're not attached to any church, but in this church you heard something. In this church, we're a Bible-believing church. We believe in the Word of God. And maybe you don't have a church home, but you might want to come and join yourself to us today. You know, and if you have a church and you're just visiting and maybe you're even just a member here, but you just want to come forward to prayer, meet me up front. And I have one of the elders pray for us, and we just want to come closer to God to give you victory for your Jericho. I know if that's probably not my last Jericho. I probably got another one facing me because the enemy doesn't care about you because you love God. That's right. And I guarantee he's going to put another one. If he put one in front of you, he'll put another one. Right. If he put one in front of you, he'll put another one. But we're here to stand him and put him on notice that you have no victory over me. You got to change your conversation that you're having with yourself. Talk to yourself differently. Become positive. And God will bless you. Amen and amen.